Welcome to the AMAA, Martial Arts Masters, Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the American Martial Arts Alliance, dedicated to building the awareness of professionalism in the martial arts through martial arts management and student development.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. Welcome to another empowerment session of the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. You know, we have been working now for the past 5 years, going into 6 years, of preserving and recognizing martial artists for who they are, what they've done, and what they have achieved. You know, the old framework was that you only got rewarded or recognized when you did something, you know, when you had to have a go out in a group and do something, compete at a tournament, and you became the number one, number two, or you're very specialized in an art and you become, you know, known. Now, all those things are good. We switched it because we realized there's a lot of great martial artists that we don't know about that are doing great things in the community for their students, and nobody knows who they are. So what we've been on our mission for the past 3 years is not about all the things you've accomplished in the martial arts, but what's your story? You know, why did you get involved in the martial arts? How has it impacted your life? You know, what's the martial arts doing for you? And today we have one of those individuals, and coming out of Virginia, this is Joe Ciccone, and he's going to be with us today, and we're going to be talking to him about the martial arts and, you know, get informed, get some information. Again, my name is Jesse Bowen, and, you know, our objective here is to share some positive things that will motivate you. And not only does he come from a martial arts perspective, but he also comes from a spiritual perspective. And, you know, the great thing that I've learned in the past, you know, 5 years, 6 years on this journey that we've been on, that is none of it's about me. It's all about a spiritual destination of meeting, bringing people together, getting them to take a moment to think about their lives from the past to present to determine how they're going to be working and how they're going to be in their lives in the future. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jess. So nice to talk to you. So nice to be here with you.
Well, sir, it's a great honor to have this opportunity to talk with you and to, you know, really just sort of have that time. We've chatted several times before. You're in our book. You know, you have a great story. And, you know, like I think we talked last week and I discovered, you know, again, the spiritual aspect that you're working from. And, of course, you know, myself, my wife, you know, we're spiritual-based people. We have a church in Greenville, North Carolina. We're the Vision Christian Church. But let's talk about, in the beginning, about the physical thing that most people have to go through, which is the martial arts. So how long have you been studying the martial arts, sir?
It's been 53 years.
Wow. That's over half a century. Wow, wow. Well, congratulations. You know, congratulations on that and your journey. So tell us, what got you motivated to become a martial artist?
Well, you know, when I was a young boy, I used to go to private school, and we were all like a family there. And my parents, we had money at the time, and we were able to do that. So my father was a gambler, so when we lost everything, I was kind of forced to go to public school. So here was Joe walking down the hall on the first day of public school, and I'm walking with my wingtips on, my insurance man briefcase, and Vitalis stuck all in my hair. I was begging for a beat down, and I didn't even know it. So that's what started the bullying in my life. I was just a young boy, and I actually had a guy who used to beat me up every day, and he loved it. I sat toward the back of the class, and he sat right by the front door. And, of course, I used every excuse known to man to try to go to the office or to the clinic or to the restroom, and it never worked. So I would always try to dodge him, but he'd always get me, and that's how that would happen.
Was his name Jackie Young?
No, it wasn't. His name was Jim, believe it or not. Jack, he was a great
Jack
big guy.
Was my bully.
I got you. Yeah, he was a big fella, and for some reason he didn't like my face. I don't know why, but he was always talking about smashing it in. So that's how that went. But one day I was changing clothes in my bedroom, and my mother walked in on me, and she says, "Oh, my goodness. I had bruises and welts all over my body." She goes, "What is going in?" Well, of course, the only one I feared more than the bully was my mother. She didn't play. When she said to do something, you did it. So I came clean. She brought me down to the school. And actually, the teacher who allowed all this to go on, he was fired over it. As well as I actually became friends with the bully. Come to find out, he was being abused by his father. So that's really what got me into it. So my dad, he got me into working out. He got me into wrestling, into boxing, and finally the martial arts. So that's kind of what started me along.
Well, you know, most martial artists have that same story. You know, most martial artists have that story that they didn't want to get beat up on anymore. You see, in our day of coming up, we didn't know words like bullying. Bullying is a new word. You know, back in our day, you were a coward.
Yes.
You don't hear those things anymore. You were, if you didn't fight back, you were a coward. You know, if somebody's picking on you, you were supposed to fight back. And if you didn't fight back, you know, you were a coward. And so today, you know, we've got these different words that we use. You know, such as bullying, which is six in one hand, half a dozen the other. It still means the same thing, that someone is now abusing you. And as you said before, in most cases that we had people and even have people today that are in bullying situations, it's because they are being bullied by someone else. And just as an inner conscious thing, I don't believe they really realize that they actually turned that. And now they become bullies themselves.
Yes. Well, thank the Lord. I never became a bully. If anything, I became an advocate for the weak. I was also a big comic book collector. So I love Superman and all the comic book guys and stuff. And so I think that was kind of what helped me as I learned to fight. I wasn't a bully, but I had zero toleration for anybody picking on anybody else or myself.
Well, I must tell you, I was a bully that lasted one day. That lasted. In fact, it didn't even last one day. I think I decided to be a bully, and 5 minutes later, some kid had hit me in the head with a baseball bat. You know,
wow.
You know, that was less than 2 minutes. I was a bully for 2 minutes. And this guy popped me in the head with a baseball bat. And I went home, and my dad said, you know, I must have been 12 years old, somewhere along there. And my dad said, I got this great big knot on my forehead, right? He says, "What happened to you?" I walked into a door. I didn't know that that was the corniest thing that you could use. And, you know, that was back in that day when you did something, parents, they came to your parents and told you if they didn't
get
you before you got there. And I looked down the dirt road, and this lady and this kid was coming down the dirt road. I'm going, "Oh, God, this ain't good." And she told my dad what happened. Boy, I tell you, you know, I still remember that beating today. You know, I still remember that. You know, so lying, cheating, stealing are things that didn't work. But, you know, there was a time that we had that moral thing. So just that situation okay, I didn't want to be a bully. I understood that. So it put me right back of people picking on me, not knowing what to do. But, you know, that's one with, you know. So tell me about your martial arts experience. I know that changed my life right then, from no longer wanting to be a victim. I thought it was going to be about fighting, but it really turned out to be about a lot more.
No, it changes your whole life, doesn't it? It just, you know, gives you a new perspective on life. And a lot of times people would ask me, because back in the day, like you said, they didn't talk about bullies, but, you know, they would ask me, "Why didn't you tell somebody?" I said, "Well, you know, it was rough, especially as a boy. I didn't want to be a sissy. I was a sissy, but I didn't want to go to my parents and say, 'Hey, you know.'" Because a lot of times when things would happen to me, I would take a dive because I was beaten in the mind right from the beginning. So I'd take a dive, mm-hmm. and I'd get in a fetal position. They would just kick me and all. So what the martial arts did for me is it started teaching me self-confidence. I started having confidence to where I could say, okay, this really didn't hurt me. So what is the problem? So they would deal with my mental aspect. They would say, look, you're stronger than you think you are. You've got all the answers right here, and you're not using it. So I had a lot of good teachers, and they taught me many good things, just more, a lot about fighting, but more about life itself, more about how to handle it. And I think that's what really helped me. It strengthened my mind, and not only did the course give us hand-eye coordination and body mechanics and all these focus and good things, but it also teaches you how to handle a given situation. I think that's what really helped me.
Well, this is what we really want for individuals to know. If you are looking for a way to make a connection, a mind-body connection, the martial arts is one of the best tools to be able to do that. Not only does it teach you about your mental, most people think of the martial arts is about fighting. Well, the martial arts is really about learning how not to fight. Because right. in the martial arts, you learn to become empowered. And, you know, and the court system will consider us as a deadly weapon if we are found in a situation where we have gone beyond what is needed to defend ourselves. So, you know, we have that responsibility of being considered as a deadly weapon, but not only martial arts, boxing, or anyone that's had combative training, military folks, any of those things can be changed, you know, towards that. But as you learn and you are learning how to execute these techniques, where to throw that punch, how to throw that punch, you learn about nerve point, pressure points, you learn all these things about the human body. But see, back in the day, learning this information, especially about the body, the human body and the systems and the striking, pressure points, nerve, they also learned how to heal. So learning how to heal people and how to be able to understand the herbal stuff and all these different things was an important thing about being a martial artist. So not only are you a destroyer, you are also a healer, and we heal people by, you know, different, you know, herbs and things, but also to heal their minds, a way to be able to talk to people, to have a compassion, to be able to support people. So, you know, so we learn all of these things don't you think so, Joe?
Yes, you know, one of the things that really helped me is my teacher would always let me know, it's when you have that fear, and I'm not talking about a healthy fear, but a unhealthy fear. When you have an unhealthy fear of someone, you kind of give off a vibe. They know. That bully, that person that is coming against you, they know. Well, now once you've trained and you've learned and you have a different set of confidence, they know that as well. So that also helps because my teacher is really big on herbal remedies and toughening of the skin with the dat jiao, and we used to do a lot of the internal breathing and acupressure. That was really important to us, you know. So it was a lot mental, a lot in herbal, and a lot in physical too.
Well, that was the thing. So tell us a little bit about what styles of martial arts have you studied?
Oh gosh, I've done so many. I've done Salaam Kung Fu. I've done some Kancha Kempo. I've done Judo, Japanese Jiu Jitsu. I've done Wing Chun. I've also done a little Taekwondo, some Tang Soo Do. I've studied quite a few different styles.
Well, you know, this is the thing about what we call the American karate. I know back in the day, we talk about martial arts that, you know, it was sort of sinful for you to mix and dabble martial arts styles and systems together. But, you know, I look at Bruce Lee as one of the first American stylists. And American stylist really just sort of comes out and means that you are now chosen to mix and match and to do something different. You know, you bring it to America in one form, you know, we'll change it and figure it out and put it someplace else. But, you know, that was the... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's through Bruce Lee that I pretty much learned, just like we all kind of did, because he brought it to the forefront. Because when we were younger, if you did other styles, you definitely didn't let your teacher know about it. You know, it was kind of on the slide. Or as once you achieved a certain rank in a style, then you would maybe start on another one. But, you know, it was very closed-minded back in those days, and they never really opened up. So it's been great now to see how we've come together and we show each other. It's more of a brotherhood or sisterhood, you know, depending upon who you are. It's not the same as when we were growing up. You know, there was all about, you know, who's the best or whose style is the best or who's, and it's really not the style as much as it is the person and what we take from each style, you know, because each style has good things and each style's got bad things. I don't care what it is, but we can take it and we can, you know, bring it into our arsenal, you might say. And that's what I've done over the years. I've developed my own style over the years. It's called Yixiquan. And it's basically, you know, it's your inner mind over your movement. And, so we do a lot of mental.
Well, you know, and that's what we're trying to get to now. Right this very moment, we need that, you know, in this pandemic situation that we're in now.
Oh, yeah.
People are being locked in. You know, that we're actually almost at the point of being mandatory. Go to your home. Stay there. Do not exit the door. You know, something
that's
that we thought about seeing in a sci-fi movie or something. That is the reality. And then the question is, how do we deal with those things? You know, I'm saying to martial artists, be optimistic. You know, your faith, then this shall pass too. And if you don't have that, you know, connection to some form of a belief, of you have to connect you. You're going to have a belief anyway. You're going to have a belief that the world is going to come to an end and be destroyed. Or you're going to have a belief that, you know, you're going to get better and you're going to keep learning and doing. And when this is all over, you're going to be better prepared to do a much better job. And, you know, martial arts schools, businesses will be back on an even pace and an even plane. And you have a chance to step out and to demonstrate your martial arts ability as far as gathering your school together, and you know, because a lot of martial arts schools are closing, and there are going to be stranded students that still love the martial arts. Now, the way that we teach, distancing, all this thing, you know, I don't have an idea, you know, how that's going to be, you know, the next month or 2 months, but I do know that we're going to become more aware of what we do, how we do it, where we do it. So I think this is important that we develop that connection, that the mental aspect of visualization is going to be what you see. You don't see hope, then you don't have hope. You know, so let's talk a little bit since we're on the hope path. I know you've written a book, so let's talk a little bit about your book.
Yeah, I have. I've written a book. It's called Not Your Average Joe's Journey to Faith, and it's all about faith. It goes into that hope. It's what we all need. You know, a lot of times people, they don't realize what faith really is. And we all have some sort of faith, you know, whether it's in an object or a person or a thing. I mean, we have faith if we're sitting down that chair is going to hold us. Or, you know, you have faith right now that we're talking that these phones are going to continue. When you drive through a drive-through, you know, you give them money. You have faith, you know, that you're going to get your product. And the thing is, that's what we need, is we need faith. But it's when we put that expectancy, that excitement about it, that's when things move. And that's what my book does. It touches people on different levels. Whether you're going through, maybe you've gotten a bad doctor's report, or maybe you're suffering from an addiction, or maybe you need to be rescued just from life. You know, it can touch your life. It can really turn things. It focuses and it appreciates what the Lord can do for you.
Well, you know, what is faith? Faith is belief, desire, and expectation. Those
Absolutely.
Are the ingredients of faith. And that's what you have to have in anything that you're doing. And if you leave one of those things out, you are now crippling, disabling your faith about it. Because number one, you have to have a belief. I believe I can do it. And that's that thing, you know, I believe in my spirituality. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, that is your faith. That's where I've anchored my faith. And I've anchored it for a lot of different reasons. You know, you have to have that desire. I want to learn. I want to be better. I want my school to come back and be the best school yet. We're going to have these changes. This is what we're going to do. I'm keeping up with technology. I'm understanding what's going on, that, you know, that this is going to happen. And then the last thing you really must have, and that is an unwavering desire. Those are the things that go into building your faith in your business, in your spirituality. Those are, you know, the things, you know, I'm going to share my experience, you know, back here, I grew up my family was spiritual, you know, in the church. My dad was a deacon, and, you know, after leaving, I got into various religion, holiness churches and different things. But I tell you, you know, when I decided, and I didn't decide, I had an awakening of some things that was happening in my life that was sending me in a whole different perspective, and those things didn't happen. I went to sleep and woke up, and I had an awakening, a connection, and I started following a different path, and my world changed. It turned around, and I truly believe that, you know, Joe, if you and I talking right now, I look at everything now from a spiritual perspective that there is a reason of why. And when we don't have that, then that, you know, that takes away from who we are. So, you know, what's your thinking on that? Like I said, you know, we just happened to bump in, and if it had not been for my book, we probably wouldn't have met, or we wouldn't.
Right.
We've never, I don't think we physically met. Maybe we passed by at an event in Virginia or something, but we have not, you know, physically met, but, you know, we hold conversations as if we are best friends.
Yes. Well, you know, it means a lot. You know, I think a lot of times we have divine appointments. I think the Lord knew one day that we would be speaking, we'd be sharing our faith and our beliefs with each other, with other people. I think that we have to step out there and talk to people. I know I witness the people, and a lot of times people will say to me, they'll go, "Well, can you save anybody?" I said, "Well, no, I can't." "Well, can you heal anybody?" I said, "Well, I can't do it." And then I tell them, I said, "Then why are you trying to take credit for it? If you can't do these things, why take credit for it? It's the Lord that does it. All we do is we plant the seed, or we water it, or then sometimes we get to see the harvest from people." So it's important that we do talk with people, and we share our faith, and we share our hope and our beliefs, because it can touch people's lives. I've seen it touch my life. I've seen it touch many other people's lives, and I've seen many miracles happen. It's incredible. I came from a background, too. I was raised in the church. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I had religious. I was religious. And, in fact, I was raised Catholic, then I was raised Baptist, and then I was raised right out of the church. I just didn't want nothing more to do with it. And, I was so close to the Lord when I was young because of things. And, you know, as we get older sometimes, other things get in the way, and I allowed that. But then again, you know, I was raised properly, and I came back, and that turned my life around, and I was able to really do well with the martial arts by helping people. I talk to people all the time, past students, new students, and they always tell me how it's changed their lives, and I think that's the main thing. But, you know, if you treat people the way you want to be treated, a golden rule, and you care for people, you know, people – you can't trick people. You can BS all you want, but people know you. They know the truth. So they know whether you're for real, whether you care for them, whether you're really trying to help them. And when they see that and they feel that, it turns them around completely, and they really are receptive to that faith and the belief in the martial arts, even goes into spirituality with the Lord too.
Well, I think that, you know, the key element that we'd say, and as I always tell people, this is where I am in my life. Someone says, well, you know, and I've been really blessed to experience a lot of things, to do a lot of things, and on a great destiny, and as I said, none of it's about me. If you wanted to follow me and you want to play on the same playground with me, then you have to understand what I do. You know, if you're gonna find success, then you got to mimic success, and you got to follow the things that those people are doing to become successful. Then you can become successful. If you want to, have a different way of life, then you have to decide what that actually is. In your martial arts training, because of that physical side of moving your body and that mental side of visualization, that's the thing we don't talk about, because in self-defense, I'm visualizing what's happening. When I'm doing my kata, you know, I visualize. You know, I used to tell my students, when I punch someone, what do I see? Well, I see you fall down the ground and you're in agony, and you don't want me to do that again. That's
right.
What I see. Well, Hanshi, have you ever done that? No. But I have the expectation of my technique. My mind is prepared. It's done over thousands and thousands of times. So the difference between what you realize and you really experience is that physical touch of doing it, because the simulation in your mind of what it is, and that's where it has to be. And if I can defeat you in my mind, then I don't really have to physically have a confrontation with you. I have the courage and the power to walk away because I understand the outcome of it. I understand the outcome, and that's why I said in teaching, you know, kata and forms, you know, I'd have my students, we'd act out. We're doing first pattern attack form one. And, you know, I block, I step forward and punch. And that person didn't stand there. But when I punch, I had the ki. And when I punch, then that person fell down. So I build the expectation of my technique. And that's how we have to do life. That's what we have to do
right
this very moment. We have to build the expectation when this is over. It's going to be over. This is not the first time this has happened, that we've had a pandemic episode of something happened. You know, I as I tell folks, this is what I consider, you know, what I think of it is God saying, time out. Everybody go to your corner. You folks are crazy. What are you doing? You know, go to your corner, sit down, think about it. When I think you got it, I'll let y'all come back out, because, you know, your money can't buy it. Your president can't fix it. You know,
No. Who
you are doesn't matter. Nothing matters. But the moment everybody has to sit down, everybody has to think about their lives. Everybody has to move forward, and everybody has to have an expectation. What will I do with my life when this is actually over?
And, you know, the good thing about this, if you take the good out of the horrible things, of course, for people getting sick or people dying, that's not a good thing. But the good thing that does come out of this is we're kind of forced to be like when we grew up. When we grew up, we had family. You sat around the table. When you went to go out and play, what did you do? You played on the street. I can remember my parents telling me, when that light comes on, you better be home. You know, but we did things together. So it kind of forces each other now, okay, you're at home together. You actually got a TV, you know, but you got other things. You know, you got games. You can talk around the table. You can do the things that you should do as a family. And I think that can turn things around for a lot of people. I think this is going to bring people a lot closer together as well.
Well, sir, you know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And everyone, you know, I want to thank you, sir, for being on our call today and to chat with us and, you know, giving us things. Now, there's, you know, so much, and I'm looking at your bio right now. There's so many things you've done. You know, everyone check it out. You know, it's going to be he's going to be in the book this year. Go to our website, and that's martial arts masters and pine. I'm sorry, That is who'swhointhemartialarts.com, and that is the website. You can pre-order a copy of the book. But, you know, we're going to have martial arts from all over the world, sharing those stories, and we're going to try to get around to everyone to have them on our code, on our show, to interview them, to hear their voice, for them to tell us about who they are, how the martial arts has impacted their lives, so we can learn other ways and different ways that the martial arts can have an impact, you know, on your life and in your life. Sir, any last words you want to say?
Only thing I want to say is I appreciate you. It's been great to get to know you. We will meet eventually, but I feel like we are friends because we have talked several times, and I appreciate all that you have done for the martial arts and all that you have been doing. I've told you many times before, I said, I wish you had this going about 40 to 50 years ago when I was first starting. I'd have been in a completely different place than I am now, but either way, I think you're doing a great job, and I just want to let you know that I do appreciate you.
Well, sir, we appreciate you. And the same thing, you know, as we said before, you know, and everyone needs to know about social learning, you know, through things like podcasts, our radio show, webinars. You know, the Internet has opened up to a world of relationships, a world of love, you know, people that are praying for each other. They don't know each other. In Facebook groups, and people are sending out that support of asking for our spiritual help. And we are all spiritual beings, and we can go in front of God and sort of be that a mediator there to
yes.
to speak and ask. Then that's then like for that decision, you know, God controls all. All we can do is go in front of you, teach you how to. You know, I think that one of the things I want to leave everyone with is that you have to have your own spiritual experience. You have to have that. So if you are not at a place of maybe you're a person that you don't have faith, and I'm not telling you what to do or anything. I'm just saying to you, maybe you should look into it. Just look into it. That's what you should do. Look into it if you're not. If you're a person of faith but you have not had a communication, then have that communication. You asked of yourself, there's very little you can do. And I think I'm doing my job of why I am here right now, this place, is to say that. And also to have the confidence to say it, that it's okay for you to communicate and to learn the spiritual side of you, why you are here, and that there's a higher power unseen just because you don't see it. You don't see the virus, but it's here. You see the effects of it. And that's the same thing about having a relationship with God. You may not see, but when you are down and you find that there's no place to go, if you're a non-believer, leave yourself and just ask. Okay? If you're a non-believer, you don't have anything to lose, nothing to lose. But I say that, you know, our program, myself as a martial artist and many martial artists across the country and all over the world, we have a base, we have a relationship. I know that Joe has his book out. My wife has a book out. My soul cries out. We all have a story. You can reach out to me and email me or text me. My email is amaa.whoswho@gmail.com. My telephone number is 919-618-8075. Hey, give me a call, shoot me a text. I love to talk, especially if it's something that you don't know where to go and you're looking for a friend to reach out and share their experience, then let me know. And so how do we get a copy of the book?
Well, you know, you can go to Barnes & Noble's. You can go on Amazon. You can go to joesaccone.com. I have a website there, and you can buy it right off of that. And again, it's called Not Your Average Joe's Journey to Faith. And I'm Joe. I'm just the average guy, but my journey's not average, just like most of us.
Well, you know, and let us know. You know, email me, and like I said, I'm talking to several people. We'd like to set up some mastermind groups, and maybe there's a mastermind group just for, you know, martial artists that we all deal from a faith perspective, or people that come in want to know, well, what do you know? Share with me. Give me a, maybe I can follow this if you give me a better understanding. So, hey, I want to let you know that myself and Joe and other people that have experienced various things in life that have moved us to a different place, you know, we want to share that with you. So if you want to know it, about it, would like for us to share it, that part of who we are, then let us know. Again, you know, we're not afraid to talk about it because we talk from a spiritual place. So truth will have its place in our lives. Again, everyone, this is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. Hey, be blessed at this very moment. We're still on for Las Vegas for the AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. So stay tuned, stay safe. Again, Grandmaster Bowen, everyone, be blessed.